Hello and welcome to the very first podcast for TVox. My name is Zoe Robinson and I'm here with...
I'm Jennifer Kirk.
And today we're talking about voices and voice therapy specifically for the male to female group because that's the people we have here today. We will be trying to get some more on female to male issues, but at the moment we're just doing this one thing on voice from our perspective. Over to you, Jen.
Right, hello. Just passing the microphone across. It's very, very technical here. We've got a microphone on the end of, would you believe it, a very long cable. But we're just going to talk about voice stuff. It's something that I think a lot of male-to-female trans people find possibly one of the most daunting things to change. Obviously, a lot of us, if not all of us, have been through the male puberty. Experience that kryptonite to all male to female trans women that is testosterone, and of course it makes your voice break, gives you quite a male sounding voice, and you have to work against that. You have to find techniques to overcome the fact that, you know, ultimately your larynx, your vocal cords, and also your chest size are all developed in a very male way. You can't unbreak your voice. It would be lovely if estrogen did that, but it doesn't. Once your voice is broken, then you know you're stuck with it. And it's one of the big common misconceptions of HRT that taking estrogen fixes your voice. It unfortunately doesn't. If I hadn't have worked on my voice, I would have sounded very, very male, very masculine. I had a deep, fairly gravelly voice. I worked in broadcasting, which I suppose was something of an advantage because it made me more attuned to my voice, what it was doing, and how I was controlling it. So when I came to transition, you know, I knew that, you know, I'd probably be all right as long as I didn't open my mouth and spoke. But you know, you try going about your daily life without speaking, it's very difficult. And one of the first things that I worked on getting rid of was, of course, the chest resonance. And that's really where the power of your voice is coming from. Obviously, in the male vocal tract, the lungs have a much bigger chest cavity, and a lot of the vibration takes place down deep in the lungs. There's a lot of power developed in the voice from down there, and it has a very distinctive sound. One of the first things that's good to try and overcome is try and get rid of that chest resonance. It's very difficult to describe how. A lot of people go, oh, what do we do? And it would be lovely if, you know, there was a magic button you just pressed, like, chest resonance off button. But unfortunately, it's not like that. And really what you have to do is soften that voice, feel that. It's almost like a vibration in the top of your chest when you're speaking with chest resonance. And try and project that from more your nasal area, the back of your throat, until the actual sound of the voice softens off. Also a good thing to work on is the pitch. Now pitch isn't everything, and some people do think that, you know, pitch is the most important, but it's not, because when you think about it, there are cisgendered women, like, for example, Anna Blackman is a very good example, where she has a very deep voice. But you wouldn't mistake her for a man for 1 minute. She's probably got a deeper pitch than, you know, most men. And there is a lot of overlap in pitch between your typical male and typical female ranges. But trying to move the pitch up is always a good thing to do. But don't try and get it too much. If you go all up and squeaky, then not only are you liable to actually harm your voice, strain your vocal cords, but you're going to sound a little bit silly, sort of like Kate Bush on helium. And it's something that, you know, you can work on over time, gradually move that pitch up. But then there's also mannerisms are quite important, and it's listening to the difference in the use of language between men and women. Now, men tend to be almost like a machine gun for words. They know exactly what they want to say, and, you know, it's the quickest they can possibly get those words out, they will do. It's very abrupt speaking pattern. It's very to the point. And it's almost an aggressive speaking style. Whereas women tend to be a lot slower, a lot more up and down. Men can be very monotone, but women tend to modulate that frequency up and down. You can probably hear that now in my voice as it's going up and down. Also, women try and seek a consensus, I suppose would be a very basic way of putting it. So they're looking for agreement from the people they're either talking to or the people around them. And one of the ways you can do that is by raising your voice at the end of sentences. So it sounds like you're asking a question. It's a very female characteristic. Men, they're not looking for consensus because men are always right. Or at least they think they are. But with women, it's looking for that social support. Who's going to agree with me? But also women tend not to use more technical words. Men love the big long words that get you onto the triple word score on Scrabble. But women tend to use very descriptive, very flowery words. They'll steer clear of words like alternator or onomatopoeic, things like that. They keep it nice and simple. But also then there's frontage is the other thing which I was taught about. And that's where you're directing your teeth and lips around the words rather than getting your words around your teeth and lips. And it's one of the essences of elocution lessons. You've probably seen, these old 1950s Ealing comedies where there's the women wandering around balancing books on their heads and going through elocution lessons, so they all sound like BBC continuity announcers from the 1930s. And part of that is about, enunciation and the pronunciation of words. And you can probably hear a little bit in my voice. It's kind of like the words have reached the front of my mouth and my teeth and lips are tiptoeing around those words, for want of a better description, so that they come out very, very crisp and clear. Again, like a BBC continuity announcer would. So the words are very legible. They're not blurred. They're not mumbled. And that also helps the frontage, the bringing the resonance of your voice further forward to the back of your mouth. And frontage does help you try and achieve that. And I suppose all in all these different hints and tips and techniques come together to produce what you can create a stereotypical female voice. I used to be very, very male. There are some very scary recordings lying around of how I used to sound, and they're undeniably male, and it's quite strange in a way that between then and now there's some 8 months of speech therapy which I've been through, an awful lot of practice, and it sounds very much like could be my brother. Some people are gobsmacked to believe that it's the recording of me then and what I sound like now are actually the same person, but they are. It's something that anybody can work hard enough with the determination and the practice and the confidence to create a reasonable sounding feminine voice to fit how they look. And speech therapy isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all. I know a lot of people think, how am I going to do this without getting a referral for speech therapy? But, in 8 months of speech therapy, I'd go and see my speech therapist for half an hour every 2 to 3 weeks, which isn't a lot at all. And all they were really doing was providing me with various exercises, techniques to practice, to go away and practice in my own time. And, giving me pointers in the right direction, but there's a lot of good information, rather like what I've been sort of talking a little bit in brief about, which you can find on the internet. And it's really just practice, and the voice will come with practice. And it might seem a little bit difficult at first, but once your vocal tract actually adapts and becomes used to it, then it actually becomes very difficult to go back to your old voice. Now, I've been told that we're running out of time, so I'm going to call it a day at that. And until next time, this is Jennifer Kirk talking into a polystyrene cup with a long piece of string. Goodbye.